seems to me an incredibly high number.
You're right, they're all in other, they're not in unknown.
And also what was amazing to me is that it seemed from the paper that you sent that the sites in Atlanta and Chicago and Washington, D.C. were practically enrolling no women. Okay, you sent a fish.
There are some sites that are not enrolling women, and there are some sites that are exclusively enrolling white people, non-minority people. So, I mean, they're skewed all over the place.
Could I ask another question about that that came up from other papers I read that seem to be referring to the ODB? Is any of that, what you do there for the studies that people claim have been based on the ODB, retrospective in the sense that someone walks into a CPCRA site and goes through the records?
Yeah,
as opposed to sitting down and actually starting someone new?
Some sites are going through records. Some sites are having physicians fill in the information and the nurses fill in the information while they're seeing the patient. That's much more preferable. And the sites who are doing abstractions say that's the only way that they can do it. That is a definite problem that's mm-hmm. been recognized.
And the other problem seems
wait,
to
wait,
be...
Wait, wait, yeah. Can you back... I don't understand.
Okay,
here.
Because we got a form that says, you know, it looks like a person comes in for their monthly visit or whatever, and someone asks them if they want to be, you know, would be in the observational database. And unlike a lot of the other studies, there are practically no exclusion criteria other than the fact that you don't consent to be in it. So it's potentially a good source of the broadest range of information. And then there's, you know, a brief questionnaire. And then there are, you know, lab stuff that gets done on the site for someone in this clinic. I saw an abstract that was from Florence that was supposedly based on ODB data. I think it was from Florence. That basically it sounded as if what they had done rather than that was to go to a site that's part of the ODB. And instead of looking
full
at people that
people
were asked
had
questions,
said,
right?
Yes. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Then
let me
okay.
retranslate them.
Okay.
The abstraction is not done for their previous history. The abstraction is done for that visit.
But it's done by someone who has not seen them.
Exactly. But it's for that visit. It's not a retrospective chart review,
okay.
If that's what you're asking.
So, but it is a chart review in
it
the
is
sense
a chart
that the person,
review
it's not
of
the person
that
who's
visit.
Interviewed them. What? That's coming out because of the difficulties is in the new CDC definition document. Okay, they cite data, which they claim came from ODB, that doesn't have, it's just like the Spectrum Z study. It's in the new CDC definition draft where they give their reason why they can't include women's gynecological infections.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to come up with a very roundabout answer.
Mm-hmm.
So what they end up doing basically is citing data taken from observational databases in which there's no requirement that there be a GYN exam. The very few of those sites have GYN clinics attached to their HIV clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And so the CDC ends up saying in that document that, of course, well, first they say that you know, they're not getting GYN infections reported. And then, as a caveat, because they know that's, they're not asking about it at most of the sites, they say, this number obviously is under-ascertained. It's a new-speak term, under-ascertained. And they, you know, say that this is probably true because there's no, in most of the sites, the GYN clinic has nothing to do with the HIV clinic. So, I mean, where does, when you present this data, Is it made absolutely clear, you know, that there's that it's very that it's not validly representing the level of anything in a way?
What we're doing in our methods paper is describing exactly that we're not, it's not a protocol where we're saying everyone has to have an STD evaluation at this visit. It's whatever is done for that visit according to the clinical care of the patient and what the physician feels needs to be done for that patient is what's captured. We don't say you got to plant a PGD. We don't say you have to have a vaginal smear for candida. We're not prescribing the medical care that happens. We're just capturing whatever is done at that visit. And so we're going to be very, very careful that we make that absolutely clear.
Are you going to print the number of women who said yes to the question, have you had sex with a woman since 1977? That is on the ODB form.
I don't know.
Well, I would love to see that data. It's the only large, other than the AMFAR observational database, it's the only other questionnaire.
Well, AMFAR and ODB database were designed kind of together.
Actually, they could call me.
That would put Sandy in a very good
position. But you know, she could refer it on, and somebody in the group would have to make a decision.
Marcia Carlin is the person.
Okay.
She's the person to talk to. Because it's the only place where at least they ask that question. I mean, they never follow up on it, but they ask it.
Well, I realize that you have to leave, and I just wanted to thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to give this to
I would like to see if there a card or a number that if we have further questions, we can later on write to you or call you.
Yeah, it's the same number that you have for Diana.
Yeah, we're all on the same phone.
Let me ask you one other question before I let you
go. Yeah, die for everyone.
In the stuff that you get printed, printed out every month, the one thing that was missing.
It's every week.
Every week, rather. The one thing that was missing from all the comparisons was a crosstab of T cells by reported, conditions.
We're looking at those data right now.
But it's funny that it wasn't in there because the T cells were in there and the conditions were in there.
This is just an overview report. It's not meant to be an update of all the data analyses that we would like to do. Yeah. It's just an update of real basic demographic prevalence behavior that could be used in general presentations, but anything that has to do with hypothesis testing,
the second
is
you do
not
a cross test, people put that.
Yeah, it's not going to be in this document.
There were also incredible differences between who got an AIDS diagnosis and who by Black, Latin, and white women.
Big
differences between.
Yeah, and we have to analyze
diagnoses.
Yeah. We have to analyze that according to ethnicity and according to risk group and all of that.
It has to be done carefully, that's for sure, and that's one of the reasons.
That's exactly why we don't want to put those kinds of cross tabs on
the one thing that occurs to me going through there is that your definition of childbearing ages is 18 to 44, and that there are probably women who are under the age of 18 who are having children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really
accurate.
For that, I know
it's
that,
also
that set up
yeah, but
that's
not
the way
not there's not a lot of teenagers that have been enrolled,
which is another problem.
Yeah.
But you know,
just the legal status.
I just know that like at the site in San Francisco where they enroll for CPCRA, they do in fact they are connected to some clinics for DC adolescents.
That would be useful information for Marcia Carlin,
perhaps. I just wanted to mention Marcia Carlin.
Yeah.
To back up for a second, you said that there is an upcoming fungal prophylaxis trial for women, which I've kind of heard about being upcoming. Do you know when upcoming is going to be like an actual happening? Well, no, that's a Brown thing, which was not a CPCRA thing, from my understanding.
What, Brown is in Mary?
No, Brown, something out of Brown University.
I think it was reviewed at CRTC already and approved as a protocol. And I would get in touch with Marcia Cohen and her team to find out what's going on. I'm a consultant to the ODB.
Okay.
And so I'm happy to share the information. But things I'm not directly involved with, I'm not comfortable.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Good
luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Call.
Yeah,
really.
Oh,
come
I love conference calls.
Yeah.
So do we.
What are those bills?
The only good thing about
it
is that you can make faces on the other end and I get caught.
Thank God we're not a video teleconference.
AT&T has those set up now.
Video?
Mm-hmm. The video conferences.
Yeah, we pull the screen down.
Definitely something I don't want.
Well, there are some things if we wanted to that we could talk about ODB and, you know,
think I asked.
Yeah, as much as you like and as much as I know about, you know, and also Pat's questions on
CDC.
Let's talk about Wiz. I want to hear about what's going on
at the CDC now and about Wiz and how all this stuff is going to be coordinated. That.
In 20 words or less.
I can't 19. Give you their questionnaires. I can't give you their protocols. Right? You got to call them. You got to keep calling them. Call them all the time.
Okay. So
this is spectrum of disease.
The project officer is Dawn Smith.
John.
Dawn. D-A-W-N.
Dawn.
Oh, Dawn right. Smith.
D-A-W.
Dawn.
And she's in the HIV.
Right, she's under Martha Rogers. She's under, you know, Curran, Martha Rogers. This is the chain of command. Curran, Martha Rogers,
Scott Holmberg.
That end of the table will go.
She's an EIS officer. She just came into CDC, and she begged to be on this study, to be the project officer, and she's got it.
This
is a new one there? I'm confused. What is this that we're talking about?
She's in charge of these new four pilot studies.
Right.
Where are those sites actually?
All right. The sites, there are four that were selected. There was a review with about 16 applications that came in, and the four sites that came up. They did a real review at CDC, very similar to an NIH review. They don't always do the kind of review they do because CDC has a totally different way of operating. Initially, they were set up to be sort of a SWAT team that goes out and does, you know, salmonella outbreaks or something. And they still have that basic setup. Good things and bad things. You can get the money out really fast with that. Bad things are sometimes done quick and dirty. Don't quote me. They funded New York City Montefiore Hospital.
Oh. Wait, which one?
New York. Montefiore.
Who's going to head it up there?
That's Ellie Schoenbaum and Bob Klein. You know them? Right. I used to work with them. I know them too. another site that got funded is Carpenter Mayer in Rhode Island. Carpenter and Mayer, they're the PIs from Rhode Island. Another site is Schumann. Yep, Schumann.
And Baltimore.
Alive study people. Eliza Solomon and Dave Laha. Eliza Solomon and Dave Laha are the PIs.
And are they with Johns Hopkins?
Yeah.
Now, at what place with Paula Schumann? Where is that?
Detroit.
Detroit.
That's Wayne State.
Okay.
Now, they just had their first meeting of investigators, and they've got a draft questionnaire. And I don't blame them for not showing it yet. It's really quite drafty. They know it. They have a lot of work to do still on it. So I give them credit for that. They've been sharing it with people who've been giving them criticism back in a PHS-wide group that I chair. And we're up for a meeting next week where...
PHS-wide?
Yeah, it's PHS-wide. It's actually got an open door, and anybody in the PHS who's involved in the studies, they can come in. And the door's been opening wider and wider lately because NAPO put itself on it. They want to report directly to James Mason about what's going on. So you can expect some more borrowing.
What's their goal?
NAPO's goal?
No, sorry, the CDC.
CDC?
Yeah.
All right, since they can't release any of their documents, what I've given you is something that Sten and I and a couple other people drafted sloppy, but it's something that we...
Okay, so this is the CDC thing?
It's related to CDC because we used this to get the ball rolling, to get them talking about the issues and hypotheses. Now, you are free to comment on this as much as possible, you know, and give them to me, and I'll take it to the PHS group. And we use it really to stimulate the discussion. Now, they have no more documents after this that they're using, so this is a place where you can, you know, make your voice heard.
I have to backtrack here something because I'm getting lost.
Sure.
all right, so you don't know exactly what their goal is.
I do know their goal because these are close to what their goals are, their aims. And it's a study of disease progression, essentially.
That's a study of disease progression.
And
in women.
In women. Mm-hmm. And
women alone.
That's right.
Is that exclusively?
It's only women.
Okay, you just say interventional or progression.
This is for women who are already infected.
Progression.
Yeah, they're right. And it's essentially focused on clinical outcomes. So it's not a MAX-like study where the outcome is did they get CDC defined AIDS or not. You know, it's not like that.
So the purpose is for just.
It's really to look at the overall, you know, progression in women and what if they're getting care, what kind of care did they get, and how did that affect the outcome. And the biggest issue on the table for that study is if women are coming in late and getting lousy care and their barriers to care, is that affecting their progression? Of course, we know the answer to that, but that's definitely part of that, you bet.
So now, basically, is the idea that this is going to kind of be the pilot for this whole WIS thing?
Which is something, they don't like to use the word pilot, but they're starting to use it more. Sometimes I call it a first wave, you know, so they're happier with the
first wave terminology.
Right.
Why do you suppose in their first wave they didn't include any sites in the West Coast?
They don't like you, Shay.
I think nobody applied for the West Coast, as far as I understand.
From the spectrum of women in the East Coast is very different than the spectrum of women in the West Coast.
Midwest,
and OI is an exception.
Right.
And then even if you apply, you might not get accepted.
Right.
You know, Pat Closer, who runs a 400 woman clinic in Newark, applied and she didn't get it.
Right.
I thought STEM said that California, San Francisco applied.
They didn't apply.
To be with them to encourage them.
Well, actually, we just gave money to NIAID, gave money to NIDA to supplement AWARE so they can be able to compete later because they already had women enrolled, so the idea was to keep them going since CDC dropped them.
Exactly.
So that happened already. They were given a supplement that passed from agency to agency to keep them going. So they'll have to apply, of course.
Diane, I understand you can't speak exactly
there's
for CDC.
I can't.
If there's something that you can kind of give us a big idea.
I'll give you as much as I can.
All right. Do you know when approximately these studies are going to start at the hospitals and
Some of the places have women enrolled already.
Have prior studies going on, like Marsfield possibly has already done.
Right. So
okay,
it's not that they're going to get paid twice for the same study. Now that's something people are concerned about.
But there's an extension of how long more they can continue studies because of this.
What they'll have to do is enroll new people. They have to look in new populations to get new people, not use the same people. But what they can do if they've already got women enrolled in studies is use that data to, you know, set up the study. So that's going on right now. That's what they're doing.
You sure they're not just going to roll over women from the other studies?
They better not. People are going to site visit them to make sure.
Is there since this is all women, so we know the early enrollment will be all women, is there a guideline in any of this for an ethnicity type of balance? Or can it be only, let's just say, you know, we open it up to all women and the sites enroll all black women. That's not going to tell us anything about any of the other types. So is there since there isn't a specific, you know, 50-50 men-women thing on this one, is it not possible on these women-only type of studies that we request a specific ethnicity breakdown to start bringing in the Asians and the Native Americans that have traditionally,
I think
on
it's
top
too,
of being
it's
left
too
out,
late for
left
CDC
out.
To do that, and I don't think they'd be receptive. I mean, you got to sometimes make your arguments where they're going to work. I don't think they do it. But I think if you have a NIAID-NIDA joint agreement, that's the place where it can happen. And that's what I'd push for.
And the other thing is that most definitely there's going to be, I would assume, that in this study, a GYN, a gynecological...
Absolutely.
Things like adolescents? Yeah, like are they going to take women younger than 18?
I don't know what CDC plans to do about that, and that's a place also where, because NIAID is still, you know, the documents and the announcements and everything haven't been written yet, this is also a place where we can
make a change, hopefully, to try and get adolescents into these studies, even if they have to use, do it through a pediatric setup.
And now that Maxine mentions pediatrics, I got to think about incarcerated women.
Yes,
okay.
Right, yeah.
Now, last night when we were talking, I remembered from my experience in the city jail, Montefiore Hospital had a contract.
They're connected to Rikers.
In Rikers Island. Yes. Now, how much, I know you're not familiar with the exact contract, can they maybe go in there with some of this, and how can we best try to get it implemented at this point that it's not, the draft is not yet done, that we may try to see a way where they could, because it would be an excellent population of where to, and because they have the affiliation already, what can we do on this end? Please tell me.
Yeah,
Stop making calls.
Yeah, I think you can ask them, you know, because I'd call Ellie right off. I would call
so
her.
So I would
and see,
talk to a person like Ellie, you're saying?
Yeah, because I know she's on both those. She's on the drug user study, and she's on the Rikers thing, too. So that'd be a place to ask them what they're doing and, you know, find out how they're going to link them. But, you know, that approach is, you know, going investigator by investigator. I still think, you know, knowing NIAID's mindset and knowing CDC's mindset, they're not going to just, you know, draw up the whole study and, you know, make sure it's absolutely representative and do sampling in a way that's going to work. And I don't even know if I trust a committee of government people to do that. What I think would be better is, you know, they'll enroll sites and there'll be the regular competition the way they always do things. Hopefully we could put some language in to get better people. But I really think the place to go is this NIAID-NIDA special study. You know, we could call them special studies, whatever, and then nobody would pay too much attention to it because it would be one of these oddball things that NIDA does. And then NIDA could do those studies. They could set them up and design them.
I got lost there. To pull a population in, like, women who are in prison, it might be easier to do it by getting NIDA and NIAID to do a special project that is not the CDC study. Okay, not to include this, but another study. Well, that would use the same kind of instruments, but where it would focus on that population, which might be easier than getting the CDC to change anything that they're doing.
Right.
So how would we go about trying to get something like this done?
I would ask for it, I'd pitch for it, I'd call up, you know, people at NIDA and people all over, and I could pitch for it within, too, at the same time. So, like Lori Weissman, for example, at NIDA, she's not in person, but she's still closely linked to NIDA. She'd be very receptive to stuff like this and would know exactly how to.
What's her name?
Gloria Weissman, W-E-I-S-S-M-A-N. She did a lot of the women's projects that came out of NIDA, the training projects and the intervention projects. Set up a study called WHEEL, I don't know if any of you know about it. It's a project that's just getting off the ground. It's a study where it's an intervention study, basically, where the idea is to look at all of the different problems in a woman's life, and HIV being just one, and you know, look at a woman's ability to identify problems and solve them, you know, assist her in solving them, and hopefully, as she solves her basic life issues, she can also deal with HIV infection. So those are some of her projects there. So she'd be very receptive to some of these ideas. I think she's a good place to start, you know, talking about how to get this set up so it's connected to the women's cohort study. Because the women's cohort study, I think, is still going to be a max-like, hopefully better, more modified study. It's going to be, you know...
That's what you're calling the CDC study.
The women's
cohort.
The women's cohort. Actually, they have a new name. They gave themselves HERS. It's H... I know. It's HIV Evolution Research Study. You can call them about that one, too.
Well, I guess I want to get with that one.
HIV Evolution Research.
Yeah, HERS. HERS, H-E, Evolution.
H-E-R-S.
Right. I think Karen asked me to go over the whole structure of this cohort study, so maybe I should do that to get a sense of how these components fit together. Because it's been patched together from
the final one?
Yeah. How it starts with CDC, moves into NIAID sites and the other co-funders that come in. Should I go over that?
WIS
and HERS are very
connected.
They're cousins or something.
So this is HERS, the PHS one. The CDC one is called HERS?
HERS.
Yeah, right. Okay. I just wanted to say about that
from just quickly reviewing this, I can't stand the fact that they're still going to say AIDS defining versus non-AIDS defining.
Yep, I agree.
I want to see that terminology struck.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, I really...
One of the reasons, I think actually Sten kept it in, that AIDS defining, because, well, he wanted to prove the point that it didn't matter, that those definitions are rather artificial. So when you do your analyses and you look at the non-AIDS defining, you know, the non-CDC defined stuff, it's extremely important.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just an analytic.
I guess I would just keep calling it CDC AIDS defined.
Yeah, all right. Place it where it belongs
instead of making it sound generic.
Yeah.
And the one thing I didn't see listed on here was urinary tract infections or... renal infections.
That's it, yeah. We'll add them on.
And also in this, I just
and chlamydia.
Really quickly,
right.
I didn't see much of anything about menstruation.
This is just the first half of the seven year. Like extra four.
And the other thing is not just menstruation itself and what happens with menstruation, but at what point in a woman's menstrual cycle does she get vaginal candida? Does vaginal candidiasis flare up? You know, I mean, does the immunosuppressing elements of ovulation, is that exacerbated in an HIV-positive woman?
Yeah, a lot of those issues are talked about actually in meetings that happen, but nothing's drawn up in document form yet. A lot of the ability to do that is in the questionnaire as I've seen it so far. So it's going to be there. But
also
anything you want to make sure is there, please, you know, keep listening.
Well, is it going to be, I guess my biggest fear is, okay, the MAC study is like X number of years old,
right.
And the people who have done that work have now are trying to evaluate new parameters, okay, and I would hate to think that what's going to be evaluated in this in terms of blood, measures and everything is going to be what was done 10 years ago on the Mac instead of the state of the art stuff. That's number one.
It's going to use actually a lot of the same.
From
NIAID's point of view, they want to use a lot of the Mac's investigators, virologists and immunologists, to do that
the
work
stuff.
In women, right? Exactly.
Okay.
So it's not going to be, it's not going to be so naive that they take what's. It's not a duplication of the Mac's just in women. Repeat.
Is anyone talking about doing, and I didn't see this on a lot of this, like hormonal stuff on women.
And also stuff like
interactions of birth control pills, if women are using birth control pills.
That's been talked about a lot, too. You know, Bert Peterson at CDC, the OBGYN, involved in that study. So it's worth a call to him to make sure that that's carefully in there. He's talked about it. He's aware of it. He argues. Herbert Peterson. But he's responsible. He's at the CDC.
He's the person who told me that, yes, there were 33 studies showing a relationship between rapidly progressing cervical cancer and HIV in women, but it wasn't causal, and therefore we could not consider it a life-threatening CDC-defining illness.
Oh, please. Burn.
He's the person who's... There are actually two centers at CDC now involved in this study. Division of HIV/AIDS, which is Mark Rogers and his group.
Which is the STD.
Right, and that's under Carol Hogue. They've been doing reproductive health for years and years, not doing much HIV for them. They probably have been, I'm just unaware of it. But they're now putting in as much funding or more than the other center, the Division of HIV/AIDS, so he's worth the call, too, to make sure he's aware of the issues and knows.
Well, Beth Peterson?
Right.
Yeah. How about this Carol Hogue? Where is she?
She's his boss. And his person under him is Ann Dewar, who's a lab person. She's like a MD, PhD, MPH, spent school forever. She's good on lab issues. Ann Dewar. She's worth the call.
You can just make a list of all these people's names, what they do out there, and give us their info.
Yeah. And are they asking questions about women to women transmission in the study?
It's been NIDA, Gloria Weissman, and in part of the PHS working group, gave them their questionnaire. It has a lot of that, has detailed, lots of detail in it. Gave it to them saying, this is what NIDA recommends you doing.
Now, I don't know what they did. So it's
There's
also...
There's another woman that works at CDC that does the...
Who's Beckelman?
The contraception research with respect to sponges.
Oh, right.
Spermicides, FNMD.
Right.
Like, how does she fit in?
I don't think she fits in at all. I don't think she's involved.
They seem to be very stuck on the perinatal transmission also. Everything that has to do with women, with NICHD, or this group here, are involved with the transmission angle. You know, so whenever they look at spermicides or anything, it's whether
it's going to be right.
Exactly, I've heard it too. I've heard them say our main goal in life is not have any more infected babies.
Yeah, right. So, you know, that's where they're coming from.
Right, but it's
online. Well, but if that... Maybe if you now talk about the connection, because I don't understand. If they're going to serve, if this is being viewed as an interagency collaboration, and if they're kind of the, quotes, pilot,
right.
And there's nothing that NIAID has to say about what is and isn't in their questionnaires, and it's sort of like catch as catch can, we should call up and like ask them if they're doing women to women transmission, we should ask them if they're doing endocrine functioning, we should... Okay, what if they say no? I mean, I know what we could do about that, but I'm just saying.
But yeah, see, NIAID through the PHS group also says the same thing. Let's have this, let's do this. You know, the NIDA rep says, I want these things in there. But it is ultimately their responsibility because they have the, you know, quote unquote, fiscal responsibility. The last person who makes the last decision is them. So what way NIAID views it is they're linked studies. They're not one study necessarily because I don't want to run the risk of being stuck with what they're doing, right? If it doesn't turn out, I don't want to say I'm part of it necessarily. I'd like to say I'm linked to it because I want to get as much out of that, you know, spending of money as possible and also get the early results out of it. And there's a point where you can argue with them after they finish, say, the first year of analyses. You can say, look, you missed the boat on this stuff. And they're, as far as my conversations with them so far, is they are very, very willing to do that, but they're nervous now about getting study going. They want to get it moving along. So they may miss some things. You know, they'll get it underway. We'll get some things out of it for sure. I mean, the vaginal candidiasis, definitely, that's on their list. They know they got to do that. They're going to do the pelvics. They're going to do cervical vaginal lavage. They'll be doing a lot of things that we can get something out of immediately. It may not be comprehensive enough. Probably won't be. But there is a point where they are then willing to open up their protocol and say, all right, what do you guys want to do since you're plopping down a bunch of money now for new sites and you have different ideas, you know, should we then, CDC, consider doing what you're doing also? Now, they may not. They may continue doing it the same way that they started off doing. My guess is they will change because they'll be criticized. So there is a way now, because the studies are linked but not necessarily one and the same, to force them to change, if need be.
Yeah, because before, I was trying to think in terms of the WIS study, you know, if you really, if it were the best of all worlds, and these studies are really linked given the number of women that will eventually be in them, you could start talking about, you know, cultural diversity, about adolescence, about, you know, getting in touch with lesbians and stuff like that, because you'd have 5,000 people to be dividing up. But frankly, right now, if you talk about what's been at HATS and what's been at WITS and where they're located, and if you add to that these four CDC sites, one, you're definitely going to have Black, Latin, and white women.
Right.
Although probably less Latin women than Black and white women. I mean, you know, relative proportions. Because of where the studies are located.
You're all in major urban centers.
Yeah,
of course.
In large major urban centers, but not on the West Coast for the most part.
Right, except for the Cohen one that has now NIDA and NIAID money.
Judith's Cohen has always been there on the West Coast.
I know. It was difficult to get that funding to move.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
I really still think that NIDA, the group at NIDA, the community research branch, they're not the clinical branch, which is Havoc, the NIDA group that's more like, you know,
marauders or guerrillas or something, they'd be much more receptive to making sure that this, that overlooked populations are included in it. That would be their responsibility. I'd really work on that.
Are they working?
Yeah, but their drug use.
It doesn't have to be only drug use. They could do it because so many women are drug users, but they do have to have comparisons to non-drug users to make sense of the data.
Because, you know, then what it means is that, I mean, none of this is there, like, so it sort of puts the weight on this one part of the study that's slated to have 1,000, right, the WIS study. Okay, it's slated to have 1,000 people, and it puts the weight on that to get Asian American women, Native American women, adolescents.
I think it's not
going to
happen. You know. I would, they've already got it in place. I mean, it's done. So
what, the CDC?
The CDC.
Yeah, no, not the CDC one, but the one that's going to come out of NIAID.
Oh, the NIAID, that's 2,000 more women.
But still, it like puts the weight on that to be like,
it does, it
to get all the stuff that everyone else is never going to ask.
Yeah. It's reality.
What's the start date of this and the length?
For the women? Think from NIAID or the CDC one? The CDC one runs
PHS.
5 years.
Okay, the CDC is 5 years starting. I think they'll actually enroll in January and start getting moving.
Next
enrolled.
Month?
January?
They're now moving. That's why I don't think it's possible to get them to do anything different than what they're doing, except for when NIAID then comes in with its new sites and says we want, you know, 2,000 more people, then you can get them to reorganize. But it won't be different people, that's for sure. And I think it's just the fact. We do need to link as much other funding as possible to address all those issues. So then the NIAID thing comes in 93, when they'll actually enroll people in 93.
And you think those are going to be the same research sites?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, all new. Probably 6 to 10. No one knows for sure how many.
6 to 10 new sites?
Yeah.
Okay, so Diane, you're with NIAID, right?
Right.
Okay, so that was when you were saying that when yours comes on board, that that's where you guys have more control over the ethnicity situation or whatever.
I think that NIAID is still stuck with their typical review process, and it's going to depend a lot on who comes in. So the thing to do now is to encourage people who have the populations that have been overlooked to put together packages. And Sten said he was willing to help people work on them, so I would, you know, I would get as much of a network of women together as possible and get him to help.
Is that maybe down, Diana, would be when it would be a good time to talk about the overall structure of WIS?
Okay. Then as far as the funding that's been approved now out of NIAID, allergy, through its council, WIS itself, which is the NIAID name for this, who knows what we're going to do with all the names. I think we should have a name competition, frankly. CDC's agreed to put their HERS study and call it part of the interagency when the interagency happens. Now, it comes in, enrolls in 93, goes for 4 more years.
Wait, the what one? The HERS?
Yeah, HERS is the CDC.
Yeah. Oh, that's the name of one? It's called HERS?
For 4 years.
Right.
This is the WIC.
From 93. And in 4 years, that's as much as they've agreed to now if it's a successful study that goes on.
Oh, WIS is 4 years?
Right.
Okay, 4 years, sorry.
So from 1993 to 4 years later.
Right. Then there are other agencies that want to co-fund.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nothing like those people.
NIDR, I can't tell you. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, because nothing's written
on
paper. There's no deals that have been sealed. But I'll tell you, there are about 5 other agencies and institutes that seriously want in and are talking money and everything else.
Are there any included on the West Coast?
But they do have studies already on the West Coast that, you know, in their, I don't know what you call it, their research portfolio or something, I think that's the language they use. They have study sites all over. What I've been wanting to get out of the Surgeon General's office, I thought this was a nice job for her to do, is give us a map of where all the studies are that have women of all the agencies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this would be a great request to go into her. I've requested it from within, requested from without, it'd be great. Nobody yet knows where all of, every meeting I've ever gone to, everybody from the different institutes and agencies sits there and says, oh, I didn't know you had a site there, you know? Gee, we should link our studies. I think we really need a good map of where they all are. Where is, well, where are all the resources already? You know, what can we use that's already there?
And you'd have to say all AIDS trial studies or all AIDS protocols or what would you call it?
For,
because
for
you know,
women,
if you ask
yeah.
for one thing and they have this whole big old pile sitting number,
right,
they ain't
right,
going
right,
to give
right.
you that too.
No, I'd like to know where are all the HRSA studies that have women enrolled, those demonstration projects. I'd like to know where all the intervention studies that NIDA does, because they do intervention, but they've got HIV-infected women, some of them, you know. So those are women that should be in care, and if they want to be on a study, be on a study.
Right,
you know?
I think that, that would be a good way of getting
and then there's all of the CDC's perinatal stuff.
Right, the FRIDA projects, those should be involved in this.
Right.
People, a lot of people in allergy never heard of the FRIDA projects. Then, you
the
know.
FRIDA's all CDC kind of.
Yeah.
What's the FRIDA?
Perinatal demonstration.
Education
yeah.
demonstration.
Right.
Research,
right?
Something.
I'll tell you right now. I don't think you should have any women who are pregnant in your study because every fucking study that exists is really about perinatal transmission.
What I think is it shouldn't
and
be
about pregnant women. Finally,
I think it shouldn't be restricted, pregnancy or not pregnant. You just it's women. If pregnancy is part of a woman's life, then if that happens while they're in the study, fine.
Right,
but
and
it's not focused
information
on
it, but. If we get away from using,
it would be
for
refreshing.
Example, using you know prenatal
yes.
care clinics as enrollment
yeah.
sites,
right.
and get away from this huge
yeah.
emphasis
yeah.
on using OBs as the
instead of
GYN like
and
that.
Tennis,
that
yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with doing that.
No, people need the OB.
That's
care
always
too.
Where we get the data because that's where so many women
right.
get tested, for example, and so that's when we get all this wonderful seroprevalence data that's only relevant for.
Right.
You know, women who are pregnant, and we can, not that we don't include that, but that we get away from that and try not to, not exclude, but not over include as
right. So there's a long way to go before the full study comes together, but I think it's really useful right now to try and get as many of the resources in one place as possible. I mean, even though CDC is going to do it in their own fashion, there will be something we can use out of it. There'll be some early results we can use for sure out of it. And since they are willing to talk about linking these studies, it's something very new to them. That it's a new process. It's tough for them. I'm willing to work on it, you know, to bring them into this.
Well, then, okay. So you guys are coming up and you're designing your questionnaire.
Yeah.
All right. And you're going to be linking with, let's say, the CDC sites and what hats and.
Not HATS. HATS basically is being turned into a different kind of study.
So you're just linking with the CDC?
As far as right now, the only real agreement that's been set officially is with the CDC.
Okay.
But then there are all these other agencies and institutes that want to be involved.
So then they will therefore, at all their sites where they're running ongoing studies, take, let's say this was your questionnaire, you're to take that and be using that?
No, not really, because some of the places, for example, that do intervention, that do a lot of counseling, peer counseling and whatever, they wouldn't be equipped to do a study like this. They wouldn't have...
They don't have the clinical
right.
component.
So,
right. So
you would be developing your questionnaire, your WIS questionnaire, right? Okay, and you'd be using that at your 6 to 10 new selected sites. Would you be trying to get it put into the CDC study, or would they just be maintaining what they have for their duration of their study?
I'll tell you what they've agreed to do, and this is basically written in stone that they've agreed to do, is they will agree to a core that everybody uses, like very essential questions and essential lab protocols that everybody who's ever done an HIV study has got to do. You know, CD4 counts have to be standardized and done in a way that...
Oh, like pregnancy tests and et cetera?
Anything could be in there.
Right,
whatever gets decided.
Right,
it
it's
would
not
be standard.
It's going to have to be a big bargaining session. But
so we could make sure that like menstruation and lack thereof
right.
was included in that core.
Basic
right.
questions right. that'll be asked
okay.
every
exactly.
single site. Mm.
So that's been agreed
chlamydia.
To. Right, but then there'll be some things that CDC won't necessarily do in addition that NIAID will probably do in addition. I know from being an allergy now for a year, they like to focus on virology and immunology, and they do some good studies, some of them out of the neck. So that's probably where allergy will go with its sites. They'll have more of that than CDC will have, most
in
likely.
In addition to the core.
Right.
So if we wanted to, and we were able to work with you guys and got, like, a lot more detailed sexual practices questions, for example, okay, a lot more detailed and explicit, that would be asked at your sites, but not necessarily anything beyond that.
Say you have 25 questions and the CDC agrees to 10 of them. You know, like if you could make a list of, what I'm trying to do is make a list and say, these are absolutely positively got to be in there. I go to the mat, I wrestle you to death for these, you have to have them.
Right.
The others are optional. I mean, you can't force them to do everything exactly the same way. So I think that's the way to go with them. That's something they can understand. It's reasonable.
Yeah, but it's just the more that you can get in common, then the more you can read across
and
your debate.
If one part that has the expanded piece find something that's really right, then it'll be obvious that the others either have to do it, study-wide, or...
You do need to keep in mind that it is a collaborative nature to it, so you do have to, as Diana says, negotiate. And so you may not, in terms of the core, we, for example, may not always get what we want in it.
Right.
There is some give and take.
Now, when you
so
have
that everyone is happy with it.
Right, and then I could go ahead and add others, you know, onto their own sites. So you have 6 to 10 sites doing things one way, and then the CDC sites have 4 sites doing things a different way. On some things, you still have enough numbers.
And
enough special